So I just want to first thank everyone who's tuning in online and who's joined us today. I know there's a lot going on, you know, with the Super Bowl, with Valentine's Day coming up. So just thank you that you have prioritized meeting with the Lord on this Sunday. I know some of you guys are maybe preparing things for tonight. Some of you may be doing your Valentine's Day by watching the Super Bowl, if that's what you guys want to do. But I just want to, again, welcome everyone and thank you for prioritizing this time with the Lord. And I just know that the Lord is stirring up things in our hearts. And you see it like in the involvement of this congregation in prayer and in seeking the Lord. It is refreshing, it is exciting, and God is on the move. So I just want to give glory to God. I also just I was just thinking about it today as I was preparing and as I came into the church. So if you guys notice, I'm wearing a vest today. And if anyone who went to college with me, they know that I love vests. Linda might remember. If it was summertime, I would wear a t-shirt with a vest. If it was wintertime, I'd wear a long sleeve with a vest. And I just give a shout out to the people who are wearing vests. Pastor John, and I saw PW wearing a vest, and Vanetta, I think she already went down. So shout out to all the vest wearers. I just want to share a quick testimony before I begin the message. But, you know, this vest actually belongs to my dad. I took it from him. But this, you know, if you guys know, ever since I got saved, I've been trying to witness to my dad and my mom and just sharing the gospel with them and just trying to, you know, lead them to Christ. But so far, you know, they haven't come to Christ yet. And in the beginning, my dad's heart was pretty hard. So I remember, you know, I shared the gospel with him. I shared my testimony, and it just didn't go anywhere. And I even bought him a Bible, like a Thai English Bible. And then I brought it to him, and I said, "Hey, Dad, this is for you. And, you know, just read it whenever you have a chance." And he just said, "You know, I don't need it. Just keep it. Hold on to it." And I said, "Dad, I bought this specifically for you." And I said, "Just please just take it." And I was like, "I got it for you. There's nothing else I'm going to do with it. So just take it." And he said, "Well, you can just throw it away." He just told me that straight up. "You can just throw it away." And I remember like being heartbroken, like, oh. So I just let it go, you know, and it's been, what, like over 10 years. But the other day, well, I see his heart softening already. He'll allow me to pray for him, and he'll allow me to talk about God. And he does pray, you know, he doesn't pray to our Lord, but he does pray. And I remember this past week, he stopped by my house, and we were just talking about health and how, you know, he's going to have to see an eye doctor because he's having trouble with his vision. And then he said, "Oh, I want to ask you something." And he said, "I knew I could talk to you about this because, you know, you're more familiar with spiritual things." And he said, "You know, last night I had a nightmare." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "You know, I saw this face, this figure, and it was just like scary." And I woke up and I was like, "Oh, it was a dream." I went back to sleep and I saw it again. And normally I'd be like, "Oh no, right, let's pray." But I was like, in a way, I was like, "Yeah," like, I was like, God's opening up his eyes to see something in the spiritual that may have already been there. But just the fact that he sought me out to share this with me, and he allowed me to pray for him. And then I said, "Hey, Dad, like, I know you already pray, but why don't you pray to Jesus?" I had the same experiences before a lot. And he said, "Really?" And I think he forgot my testimony or something, because he's like, "Really?" He's like, "You never told me that." And I was like, "All right, whatever, I told you." But I said, "Hey, what helped me was that I prayed to Jesus. And it slowly but surely went away." So I said, "Why don't you try that?" And so he said, "Okay, I'll do that." And then I saw him over the weekend, and I said, "You know, have you had any other nightmares?" He said, "No." He's like, "You know, I prayed." I said, "Did you pray to Jesus?" He said, "Yeah." And he said, "I feel better, and it hasn't come back." So I just want to thank the Lord that he's doing something, right? And just praise him for that. And that theme of me trying to do things off my own strength and allowing the Lord to work is also a big theme of today. And so I'm just going to begin by just sharing what I'll be sharing about. I'm going to be talking about Nehemiah from the book of Nehemiah. I'm going to read a passage later on. But the main theme, if you take anything away from what I share today, is that God is building up something beautiful right now. He's at work. He's building the church, and he's doing something at the Rock Church. And we are all called to take our place in his plans. You know, the Bible says that we are like living stones being built up, and with Jesus as the living stone that we're being built upon and being connected to. So that's, if you take anything away from us, it's that from this message today, is that you guys are all, each and every one of you who have been called, who have accepted the Lord as your Lord and Savior, who are saved, that he's called you for a reason, that you all are living stones particularly for something important. And it doesn't matter how long you've been walking with the Lord. If the Lord has called you, it's for a reason. Each and every one of us. And we all have to take our place in what the Lord is doing. So I'm going to be reading from Nehemiah a little later. But I like to go over the history of this book of Nehemiah. And there's Ezra and there's Nehemiah. But originally they were one book. They were together, right? And they're part of the same story. And it is about the return from exile. And if you guys have remember from the Old Testament that the first temple was built by Solomon, right? And that's where he built the temple. The presence of the Lord came down upon the temple in the form of a cloud. And by that cloud, you can tell that the presence of the Lord is there. And the people, you know, rejoice, and they knew, they felt like, oh, God is with us. We are the Lord's chosen people. But because of disobedience, because of sin and idolatry and rebellion, eventually the Lord's presence left that temple, that first temple. And as the people continued to rebel and sin against God, God raised up the Empire of Babylon to come as a vessel of his judgment upon the people of Israel. So people were killed, and through King Nebuchadnezzar II of Babylon and his armies, they came and ransacked the city of Jerusalem again and again. And eventually the walls were destroyed, the temple lay in ruins, and the people were taken into captive and brought into exile to Babylon. And there's a verse in Jeremiah. It wasn't like it was caught, it was unaware. The people were not unaware. Jeremiah had already prophesied. And we all know the verse, Jeremiah 29:11, where it talks about that I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. But right before that, it talks about this exile, about how the Lord will allow you to be taken for 70 years, and then he'll return you. And that's where the Lord is promising. There is a plan. There is a hope for you, for your people, right? But there's this judgment that God is deciding to take upon his people because of their rebellion, because of their sin. And that's kind of the background to this story. And yes, they were in exile, but then God had raised up like this stirring among some of the people, some of the prominent people that were taken to Babylon. There was this stirring to return to Jerusalem, and God gave them favor with their leaders, the leaders of Babylon, to allow them to come back. And they would come back in several waves, right? So the first wave was led by this guy named Zerubbabel, and his desire, God put on his heart to rebuild the temple, and then he had his permission to come back to Jerusalem to bring people, to bring materials, to rebuild the temple. And it was met with mixed results, right? So the temple was rebuilt, but that cloud, that presence never came back. It didn't come back like it did when Solomon's temple was built. And then it says that the elders who had seen Solomon's temple, they wept. They wept because they knew, like, the structure was there, but the presence of the Lord never came back. So they wept because they knew that the Lord had not brought his presence back to the people. And in another wave, Ezra came, and his desire upon his heart was to bring a spiritual revival among the Israelites, right? So he wanted them to turn back to the commandments that were given through the Torah. And so his desire was to turn the hearts of the people back to the scriptures and to being faithful to those scriptures. And that was also met with mixed results. While there was some kind of like repentance happening, there was still sin. There were still things that they haven't fully given over to the Lord. And there was, you know, inappropriate marriages to the non-Israelites. That was one of the sins that had stayed. So it wasn't like he was racist against the nations around him, but the purpose of this non-intermarriage was that there would be no corruption amongst the people of Israel. Because in those times, each kind of people group had their own gods, their own idols. And if they were to intermarry with these other people, they could get swayed. So their spouses could get swayed, their kids could get swayed to turn to idolatry as well. So the purpose was to keep the people of Israel pure and consecrated to the Lord. Another one that came back was Nehemiah. And God had put on his heart to rebuild the walls surrounding the city, right? So the walls lay in ruins after all these waves of attacks. And his desire was to rebuild these walls, to bring this protection around the city. And the way it laid now, it was almost like a shame to the nations around them. They were like, look at this city that's supposed to be the holy seat of God with the walls in ruins and in disarray. We got to rebuild this glory, the glorious city of God. We have to come back and rebuild it. So that was his desire. And this was also met with mixed results. So the walls were rebuilt. And then even Ezra and Nehemiah teamed up to form this kind of, to have like a revival service for like a week, right? Where they would read the Torah. People would repent. People would cry, weep. And you know, they're like, oh, now we understand what the Lord wants of us. And in the evening, they would go into celebration, feasting and with joy. And they would do this for 7 days. And even after all this, the people's hearts still hadn't fully turned and committed themselves to the Lord. So it's like these three leaders, Zerubbabel, Ezra, Nehemiah, their heart's desire was to see the people turn back to the Lord, to fully commit to the Lord. But it was met with mixed results. It was out of their strength, out of their zeal. And God gave them favor, but he had another ultimate plan for his people. And we're going to talk about that. You know, with Nehemiah, you know, despite the rebuilding of the wall, despite this revival service, and I'm sure he probably felt good after this week-long revival service. He went away back to Babylon for, you know, a business meeting or something, right? He comes back to Jerusalem, and then he sees the people in sin again, right? He just sees this intermarriage happening. He sees people not keeping the Sabbath day, which is their seventh day to rest. But he saw merchants selling in the city on the Sabbath day, and he got so angry. It says, I'm going to read a part of 13, Nehemiah 13, verse 21. And this is in regards to the people who were violating the Sabbath, right? So Nehemiah, out of his zeal, listen to this. But I warned them, and I said to them, why do you lodge outside the wall? This is after he already kicked them out. He said, get out of the city. And even outside the city walls, the people were selling and you know, being merchants and selling things, right? Why do you lodge yourself outside the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time on, they did not come on the Sabbath. And this type of laying hands is not the type we lay hands on here at church. It's not like, I'm going to lay hands on you and pray for you. It's talking about, I'm going to put my hands on you and beat you, right? So this is Nehemiah out of his zeal, his passion to see people holy. He's like, I'm going to beat the unholiness out of you, right? That's how much he wanted it. And then regarding intermarriages, in 13 verse 25, it says, I rebuked them and called curses down on them. I beat some of the men and pulled out their hair. I made them take an oath in God's name and said, you are not to give your daughters in marriage to their sons, nor are you to take their daughters in marriage for your sons or for yourselves. So here he sees the intermarriage happening and he does beat them, right? He pulls out their hair and he like almost like, I just imagine putting someone in a headlock and say, take this oath, right? It's almost like me going to someone who's not a believer and just like putting them in a headlock and say, hey, you better pray the sinner's prayer because I want you to be saved. And it's like he wanted it so bad that he was willing to do violence to see this happen. And I was just thinking like, oh man, imagine if Nehemiah was a pastor today, right? If he was a pastor of our church, right? And it's like Pete saying like, oh, you're losing hair. I'm like, no. Like Pastor Nehemiah got me, man. Like I shouldn't have skipped church that day, right? He pulled out my hair and beat the unholiness out of me. So, I mean, this guy was passionate. This guy was zealous. He wanted it to happen, but ultimately it didn't fulfill what he wanted to see. And so this return to Jerusalem that happened after the exile was only a part of the fulfillment of God's plan, right? Part of the fulfillment of the prophetic hope that God speaks to us, that God has given us. See, he had different plans, right? And it wasn't quite captured by these three leaders. So the prophets talk about that God will build a city without walls, right? That the presence of God will be with us, right? And Israel will be a light to the nations, and all the nations will come, right? So it's almost like they had remembered the old ways and they wanted to see it happen again, but they didn't quite grasp the magnitude of what our Lord had in store. And so what we are on the other side of the new covenant, right? So we see that these three that wanted the spiritual revival amongst Israel, we are the benefits of what Jesus had already done. So he had died for our sins on the cross. See, the problem with the people wasn't that they didn't try. I really believe the people, at least most of the people, wanted to see this happen. They were all, If you read the stories, they participated in the rebuilding of the wall. Many people had to come together to rebuild the temple, but it was a condition of the human heart that needed to be made new. And Jesus does this, right? Jesus does this by paying for our sins on the cross. He did this by being raised again from the dead and pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. Jesus, we are the benefits of what Jesus has done, right? And so with Zerubbabel, his desire again was to rebuild the temple, to have the presence of God with us again. And Jesus fulfills what Zerubbabel had desired. The presence of God was poured out at Pentecost upon all flesh, upon us, that we, the presence of God can come and live in us, and we are his temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and he's building up his church. Ezra wanted a commitment to follow the law again, to follow the commandments that God wants for us. Through Jesus, Jesus says himself that the law will now be written on our hearts through the Holy Spirit, right? So it was fulfilled through what Jesus did, through his death, resurrection, and the pouring out of his Holy Spirit. And Nehemiah's desire to build this wall, to bring the glory of God back to the city and to bring protection. You know, Jesus talks about the church being built up and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That the Lord is building these things up. The Lord is building up his church, building up his people, strengthening them, making his bride, preparing his bride. And we as the church are his bride. And it says in Matthew 13:17, it says, "For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." So he's talking about us on the other side of the death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are the ones who should be envied by these prophets, by these great righteous men of the past. I'm thinking like if Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel could see us now, oh, how they would envy at what we have. They would envy that we have the Spirit of God living in us, that he is building up his church, that he has given us new hearts, that the presence of God is with us when we worship. It's like to be able to tangibly feel the presence of God, to be in his presence, like that's only reserved for like, you know, the high priest, you know, and even then it's like only once in a while could they come into the presence of the Lord. But we, each and every one of us, even as a new believer, we can perceive the presence of the Lord, and we can come to his presence every time we gather. Even at home, in our closets at home, we can pray and the presence of God can be there. How they would envy what we have. And with this acknowledgement, with this understanding of who we are, like how blessed we are, we can see even now like God is doing a new thing. He's increasing on the earth. He's doing something amazing, like, you know, with the story of my dad and how his heart is softening, with how we see him moving in Christopher. And as we pray, God is answering in real time. And it's not taking years, it's not taking months even. But we saw, a few weeks ago, 5 to 10% chance that he would even live. Then the latest update, he's walking on his own. It's almost like, are we really seeing what we're seeing? And God is doing it. God is increasing on the earth. He's doing something amazing. And we are beneficiaries of what God is building on the earth. So each of these ones, Zerubbabel, Ezra, Nehemiah, are builders in their own way. They're builders. But we have the benefit of being under our master builder, Jesus Christ. We are all called. Like I said, Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And if this is true, he has not just called us, but he has prepared something for each and every one of us. So we all get to play. We all get to participate. He didn't call us just to sit and just to enjoy, but he's called and given each of us something to do, something that he has designed specifically for us to do. And everyone gets to play. Right, and that includes everyone here. That includes everyone who's called by the Lord, all over the earth. We each have a purpose, and I know we've been praying for this next generation. And how I believe that this next generation has something amazing in store for them, and we get to participate in their upbringing. We get to pray for them. We get to speak to them, speak life into them. We get to call forth their destinies, and not just them, but even the elder generation, the elderly generation. Their time, they still have breath in their lungs. Their time is not up yet. There's greater things yet to be done for them as well. and we get to be a part of this. Now, I know that this doesn't mean that we don't have challenges. You know, if you guys are like me, you may have been also hit with discouragement, with doubt, with fear, and stress, and even burnout, right? There's this thing that reality of life hits us with, right? That we are called, we know that, we know the Lord is with us, but at the same time, you know, we're hit with these things. How are we supposed to navigate this, right? And I'm going to read from Nehemiah 4, 6 through 15. And this, from this, I'm going to take, there's some insights there that I think we can benefit from. So I'm going to, okay, thank you, Alfred. He has it up. I'm going to read from the ESV. And I'm kind of just going to go through piece by piece, right? And prior to this, the people in the surrounding area around Jerusalem, as they're building the wall, they are not happy. They're upset. They're thinking like, what do you guys think you're doing, right? Like, what, you're putting up a wall. Like, you guys think you're going to go back to your former glory. And they're just against this project, right? So despite this discouragement, they continue on the work. Verse 6, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Right? So at this point, the walls are half built, meaning that they're still vulnerable, but the work is on the way. And it was built to half the height, and the people had a mind to work. The people had a heart and a will to see this done. So that's what I mean. Like, these people, Nehemiah could not do it alone. Nehemiah had gathered people, and there was this kind of mind to work, meaning there's this desire to build this wall, desire to move forward. And I know from just even seeing from the past few weeks that we as a church have this desire to see the kingdom of God built on earth, desire to see people healed, desire to see people saved, desire to see God glorified. There is this desire, and we are working towards that end in partnership with the Lord. Verse 7, but when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And then it says also that they plotted, and they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. So you see, as the walls are being built up, they're like, oh, they're really moving forward with this. They're really wanting to see this glorious city return to its former glory, and we're not having that, right? So we're gonna try to threaten them. We're gonna try to cause discouragement. We're gonna cause confusion, and then hopefully they'll stop their work, right? Now, there was a degree of protection because before they came, they got these letters from the ruler of Babylon saying, like, they're allowed to do this work. They're allowed to come back, you know. And so there was this kind of overall protection against just outright attack, but didn't stop these three from wanting to discourage, wanting to cause a threat of attack so that the people would be discouraged from continuing the work. And so as we press forward, as we seek the Lord, there are times where we're going to be hit with discouragement. Some of it's spiritual, some of it's not, but there is times where we are going to come into resistance. We're going to come into areas in our life that, man, like, I don't know if I have the will to move forward. I don't know if I'm going to make it out of this tough situation. How can I talk about the kingdom of God when I'm struggling with my day-to-day? So there's this discouragement that set in amongst the people, and there's discouragement that we can also face along the way. But I'm going to read the next verse, verse 9. And we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. So two things occur right here. They prayed to God. They immediately saw this threat. They felt the threat coming, and they prayed to their Lord. They prayed to their God, who is their protector. And we also, as we hit these things, it's not like we stop praying. It's not like we panic and we focus on those things. We pray and we seek the Lord. Right? We seek the Lord in our times of trouble, in our seasons of discouragement, in our seasons of doubt. We can seek the Lord. He is available. He's there. And we can take a lesson from this as well. And not just praying, but they also set a guard. Right? They didn't just pray, but they also took measures. They took steps of faith, and they set a guard. So it's like, yeah, we pray, we seek the Lord, but we also prepare, right? We have to be aware of what's going on around us. Oh, like, there's a spiritual, I just sense something spiritual is going on. I got to seek the Lord and fight in prayer. I got to call my brothers and sisters and help pray with me, you know, for my situation, for our situation as a church, right? There's the steps that we need to take. We still need to gather. We need still to press forward, Even though I'm discouraged, I'm going to continue to read my word. I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to reach out to the people that God has placed around me to share God's love. It's not like we stop what we're doing, but we're going to continue to press forward. Verse 10, in Judah it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There's too much rubble. By ourselves we will not be able to rebuild the wall. And our enemies said, they will not know or see till we come again, till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. At that time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, you must return to us. So here you see the discouragement is failing. The strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. So there is a strength that is failing amongst the people. There's too much rubble. There's too much going on. There's too much rubble on the ground to continue the work. And they just see this, the discouragement setting into the minds of the people. We will not be able to build the wall by ourselves. And our enemies are coming to threaten us. And even the people, the Jewish people who lived amongst them outside the walls, they were like, you know, you got to come back to us. All you people who are going to help rebuild the wall, come back to us because, you know, we might get attacked. You know, so there's all this fear going on as well, right? So you see this setting in. But then verse 13, it says, so in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in open places, I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and I arose. Could everyone say arose? Arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. So you see Nehemiah being used by the Lord to rally the people. So he takes steps. He places guards around the wall to watch day and night, right? So despite, you know, watching day and night, building the wall, there is going to be some weariness. There is going to be some tiredness, but we're going to press forward, right? And not only that, but then he arose and gave this call to battle, this call to press forward. Right, I love those movies where there's a speech given, and then you know that rallies the troops, and then they press forward in unity. Right, like I love Braveheart. I love the speeches that he gives there, and then everyone gets on fire, and they're just like, "Let's just go, let's fight." Right. So this is what he's doing right now. He's like, "Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Remember what he's already done. Remember what he's already done for the people. He is the same God that is with us right now. He is great and he is awesome." Right. So he is with us. He is for us. We're doing this for his glory. Let's press forward. And also he adds, and fight for your brothers, and fight for your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. And sometimes, I know for me, like, there's times where, like, yeah, I know in my mind, like, yeah, I got to do this for the Lord. I got to do this for his glory and for his kingdom. But then there's also this practical call that Nehemiah gives out. He said, do it for your families. Do it for the people that you love, right? And it's like us, like if we're going to see our children grow up in the Lord, we also have to keep fighting. We have to press forward. It's not like we give up and then we expect them to thrive, right? We have to press forward and fight for us, but also for our families, for our loved ones, for our church, right? We see, and I love how when one of the people in the church is hurting, we rally around them. We rally around them with our gifts, you know, our prayers. You know, there's different people coming up with different ways to bless the people that are struggling in our church. And that I think is really pleasing to the Lord. So we fight for us, but fight for ourselves, but we also fight for our loved ones. That as we advance, you know, the people in our lives advance. That's just the way I think about it sometimes. As, you know, I think Helen said it in the Thai conference that we did online. Your breakthrough is my breakthrough. Your glory is our glory, right? So it's like as one of us breaks through, as one of us breaks forth in the Lord, everyone gets pulled in with them, right? We get to celebrate and participate in this breakthrough. So we are advancing as a church, as a family. And then in verse 15, when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plans, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. So the enemy, having plans to come and attack, they knew, they heard, hey, the Israelites know about our plan, and they're preparing, they're getting ready, and the Lord is on their side. The Lord has called them. So then they move forward, the people of Israel move forward in rebuilding the work. Now, in the later verses, it talks about how they have a trowel in one hand and a sword in another, right? So as they work, they are also prepared for battle. As they're building the wall, they're also prepared in case the enemy decides to attack. And I think that's a picture for us all, right? So the victory is not that they won't attack. The victory is that the work continues. So even as a church, as we move forward in victory over sickness and illness, yes, that's a victory. But we don't just stop at those victories, say, oh yeah, they got healed, now we can go back to, you know, status quo. We move forward and we advance in the building of God's kingdom. The victory is not in that we overcame that last challenge. The victory is that we are moving forward despite the challenges, past the challenges, and we are going to continue to build. And I think that's something that was highlighted to me as I read this. So as I kind of wrap this up, this is the call that I believe that we have as a church. That we have a master builder. We have a builder who is the Lord, who is Jesus, who takes the pieces that we see in the Old Testament from Zerubbabel to Ezra to Nehemiah, and this desire to see the kingdom of God come on earth as it is in heaven. We see that this desire to build is fulfilled through our master builder, Jesus. The one who has already completed and won the victory on the cross. The one who has paid for our sins, who's given us a new heart, allowing us to be able to follow, allowing us to be able to receive the instructions and receive the word of the Lord and obey and to move forward. Because he has given us a new heart. He has given us a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone and put his spirit within us. Right? So each and every one of us are these living stones being built up. Now we all, you know, as the stones were for the wall, they're all different shapes, they're all different sizes. But as they come together, connected to the living stone, Jesus, the building of his church is happening, the building of his kingdom is happening, and we are each called to play a part. So I've seen it on these prayer bursts at noon, right? So it's not just one person praying, it's not just two people praying, it's not even three people praying, but I've seen different voices come in. And it's not about the eloquence of how someone prays. It's not about how long someone prays. But I've seen the different voices that have released different prayers for the sake of our beloved Christopher. Words that were given to one may not have been given to another, right? Something that someone released may not have been released by anyone else if you had not prayed that prayer. So even the one who's, you know, typically shy and doesn't want to be put out there, would rather pray in the privacy of their own homes, which is good. I've seen that people just decide to raise their hands on the Zoom, hit unmute, and release these powerful prayers that God, through the Holy Spirit, has given them to release on behalf of Christopher. And I believe it's this picture of all these different prayers coming together that God has given each one that has participated in this marvelous work that God is doing in Christopher's life. That is just one picture of how we are being built up as a church, being built up as living stones, shaped and perfected by our Lord to come together into one beautiful church, one beautiful bride for our Lord Jesus. And when discouragement comes, right, we take this lead, right? We press forward. We press forward in prayer. We press forward in hope. And when our hope runs thin, you know, God has placed people in our lives. God has placed leaders, friends, you know, fellow believers in our path that we can just, hey, pray for me right now. Like, I'm struggling. I'm going through a hard time. My hope is running thin. Like, the strength of the burden bears is failing. I need just you to come alongside me in this moment. You know, raise up my arms so that I can continue the fight. And then that's the beauty of the church, right? We, like, the church is made up of different pieces, different body parts, right? We can't say that one part is more important than another. We do have great leaders in this church, powerful prayer warriors, people of compassion, people of who are serving with just a huge heart that the Lord has given them. But they can't do it alone. They don't do it alone. Each and every one of us plays our part. Each and every one of us is called to participate, to take our place along the wall, with a trowel in one hand, a sword in the other, to move forward and fight and to advance the kingdom of God. And the victory, again, is not just stop at each challenge we've met, like, oh, I'm glad I got past that hard time in my life, and I just go back to status quo. No, we press forward. We press forward as a church. And I just truly believe that greater things are yet to come. That's a word that I got towards the end of last year. You know, I think it was on New Year's Eve. This song has always had a special place in my heart about the greater things are yet to come. But that song came on New Year's Eve for me, and I just felt like in my spirit, this is for the coming year, that greater things are yet to come. And we are just seeing the first fruits of it, the very beginnings of this, right? It's what, beginning of maybe mid-February, and the Lord has already done such great and marvelous things. And I know the Lord doesn't operate by calendar year like that, but I just see that the Lord is moving. And I just really believe that we have not seen anything yet, that there is so much more ahead of us. And so as we move forward, we move past the discouragements. We move past the fears. We come alongside each other and build up his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And we do so together. We do so as a family. We do so as a church. We, hand in hand, will move forward in the Lord, following his lead as his sheep, as his people, and he will lead us into that greater glory. So I'm just going to close in prayer here. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise. God, we thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. God, we thank you that your kingdom is advancing, and we thank you that we, Lord, are so blessed, Lord, that Lord, we don't take away anything that from the people that were created before us, before the time of Christ, but we thank you that we were born in this time, that we have the benefit of being on the other side of the cross, that we have the benefit of being on the other side of your resurrection, that being on the other side of you pouring out your Holy Spirit, we give you thanks that we were born for such a time as this. And I thank you that every person at the sound of my voice has been called by name to do great and marvelous works. For we are your handiwork, God, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which you, God, have prepared in advance for us to do. Lord, we stand on your word, and I just declare that every single person that's hearing this message is important. It has value, has a part to play for the kingdom. And if you don't acknowledge that, if you don't receive that, there will be an empty spot in the wall that the Lord is building up. But no, God has called you, specifically you. You have a purpose. You have a plan. You have a part to play in this building of his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So Father, we come before you right now, and we just move forward in full submission of you. We submit to your plans. We submit to your blueprint for how you want to build the church. We submit to your blueprint of how you want to build Rock Church. We submit to your blueprint of how you want to build each and every one of us up in your design. We are not called to look like someone else. We are called to be who you created us to be. There is an original design that each and every one of us has in you. And we want to be, Lord, who you called us to be. You've given us gifts. You've given us talents. May they all be used for your kingdom. May they all be used for your glory. And we move forward by first saying we submit. We submit to how you want to build, Lord. We submit to how you want to advance in our lives. We submit to your plan for overcoming and for breakthrough, Lord God. We submit the people in our lives that we're praying for unto you, that you will do it, Lord. That you will save them. That you will heal them. That you will deliver them, God, in your timing. And if it is your will for us to participate, Lord, tell us how. Tell us when. Spirit of God, have your way. Build up your church, God, to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.